Now, as to why I am, well, naturally, as head of the Department of Nursing, this would seem to be the reason. Actually, never having written a history before, and knowing, at least at the start, less about Westcott than you claim to, I went through the catalog with Dr. Janik, and simply asked who are the people in the back of the catalog, you know, faculty and faculty emeriti, with whom I should talk, and yours was one of the names he ticked off. Well, I'm sure he wouldn't mind my telling you, in addition to, are these the only two things I know about you, actually, other than what the catalog's for me? One, he said that you have been at Westcott twice, so I assume I know this.
I was affiliated with it before I was at the hospital, yeah.
And secondly, he said you're a very blunt and forthright person. So, now, as to having been at Westcott twice, could we start there?
Okay, the first, I was not on the faculty here. I was director of the School of Nursing at Danbury Hospital. And in the program there, of course, the sciences and psych and other courses were needed. So we contracted with the college to have chemistry taught here, and by Chris Rafter, who is no longer here, and psychology by Norman Reed. And they taught it all the time I was at the hospital, which was about 8 years. They taught those courses, and the students came down here for them.
Mm-hmm.
And anatomy and physiology was taught by Paul Sweet, but yeah, I think that was contracted through the college, too.
So that his saying you've been at Westcott twice would mean that this first time you had association with...
Right, the first time was sort of an indirect association with the college.
Mm-hmm.
Second time is rather direct.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yes, must be. Now, I notice from looking at your academic background that you followed a Southwood course, Bates College for your bachelor of arts degree, Boston University for your master's, and then University of Connecticut for your doctorate.
Straight New England.
Straight, were you a Maine girl?
No, I wasn't. No, I'm from Connecticut.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't boast about it. I was born in New York City, in the Bronx, and lived quite a while down there.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn.
Were you? Well, I wouldn't boast if I were you either.
No, it's history. The very first question I have jotted down mm-hmm. is, given the fact that in 1945, the college, it was then Danbury State Teachers College, was essentially performing a function of preparing teachers. I note that, at least from the catalog, the first nursing degree program was started here. And I wondered if you knew why this was, what the circumstance was, whether World War II related in a...
1945?
Yes.
They had a nursing degree?
I'm informed that...
I see.
Let's see. This is a little sheet that says it.
Is it a BS in nursing education?
I believe it was.
I know it was in process in the 50s, so I suppose it's reasonable to assume it started in 45.
Mm-hmm.
You have that information, I surely don't.
Well,
if so, that Bachelor of Science in Nursing Education was a degree that had nothing actually to do with the practice of nursing. It was for RNs who had no bachelor's degree to go back to college and earn one by fulfilling the Common Core requirements of the college mm-hmm. and education courses, too. Matter of fact, I remember we had one up at the hospital in that period, like around 60, where the sort of student teaching experience was done at the hospital, so that she taught some nursing classes.
Oh, there, I see.
And did some clinical teaching, too.
Yeah. So,
but it wasn't a nationally accredited program. It was primarily to serve the needs of the RNs who wanted further education.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the further education wasn't necessarily in nursing, but it was in general ed and in teaching practices and methods.
And this would have been a period, I suppose, too, when increasing emphasis was being placed on the RNs.
It was the beginning of it. It was the beginning of the very beginning of collegiate programs in nursing really starting up. One thing might have influenced it when you mentioned the war was the GI Bill. Because I recall my sister was in the service in the Army Nurse Corps, and she had a GI Bill, and she went to college on that. You know, she was an RN, went back to college to work toward her degree because of that reason. So that could have been one of the reasons for it starting.
Well, I recall in Aruba where we had a large company-operated hospital, a large 120 beds. We shifted, I would think, not too long after this to an appointment requirement that all of our nurses must, of course they tended all to be supervising nurses with a local training program going on, that the degree would be an appointment requirement.
Yeah, that was the beginning of it, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Also, I have no idea for whom and for where the college prepares nurses. Is it seen as essentially a local function, or?
Are you talking about now?
Yes.
Regional, I'd say.
Regional.
Mm-hmm. There aren't all that many students from Danbury and Bethel and surrounding towns, per se. We have an awful lot from all over the state, and a few from New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Would this, is West Point unique among these state colleges in having a nursing program?
Southern Connecticut State has one. Matter of fact, they started before this one, I think. I can't say for sure, but I thought they did. I was probably more familiar with it. This one started in 1966, with the first class graduating in 70. And Southern is around the same time.
I see. Now, when you say it started in 66, this would be the four-year program?
Yeah, four-year program.
Whereas prior to this, it was a on top of the RN training.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And your graduates, then when you speak, when you use the word regional, would this be in terms solely of the student body you draw, or in terms of where your graduates?
Where they go? It would be in terms of where we draw the students from.
Mm-hmm.
And where they go when they graduate is all over.
Uh-huh.
Majority stay in the region,
mm-hmm.
but they have a wandering lust and go to California and Florida and mm-hmm. all over.
Yeah. And knowing nothing about the nursing profession, does the granting, or is a degree granted here or at any accredited college recognized nationally for purposes of meeting the degree requirement?
You mean is our program? Recognized nationally? We have national accreditation,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which is the best you can do in nursing, if we have it.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm relating it to other professions, the law, doctors, who I gather, if they are licensed to practice in one state, still must qualify for...
Yeah, our people have interstate licensure, we used to call it reciprocity, but once they pass their boards, although they're called state boards, they're really national boards. The same exams are taken by nursing graduates all over the country on the same days, and they're issued a license from the state, but that license gives them the ability to work in the other state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The catalog, almost its last page, I would guess, lists an affiliated faculty.
Does it now?
Yes, ma'am.
I never saw that. Oh, for MedTech, uh-huh.
Now that affiliated faculty, the word faculty, are these, considered members of the Danbury teaching staff, the college teaching staff?
I don't know if they are or not. I see they also have them in music.
Yes.
How interesting. We don't have affiliated faculty in nursing. We've talked of it. I guess we're afraid you'd have to pay money, which we don't have.
Oh, I see. This would not be in association then with the nursing program.
No. No, this is for the MedTech majors. just as this would be for the nursing majors. See, the med tech majors go to these various hospitals for their final year of clinical, their fourth year in college, and these are the people under whom they study. They have education coordinators and directors of the med tech programs, usually pathologists. Yes, in each case they are here. And but they are not technically members of the faculty. Mm-hmm. In that they aren't paid, I'm sure. It's a courtesy kind of thing.
I see. I can shut this off for you,
okay.
Sure. All right, well then the historian has learned that there's something else that he must look into, and this is the program for training medical technology.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Are there, and this would relate to something that in the history I will undoubtedly want to have to emphasize, illustrious alumni and so forth. Do you have graduates who have achieved a kind of distinction that in the nursing field, let's say on the average, we have a higher proportion of directors of nursing?
Well, since the first graduates came out in 70, that's 6 years ago, they make them about 27, 28 now.
No.
We have no directors of nursing, but we do have a, we do an evaluation of our curriculum with the students once they are out for a year, and have consistently kept this up. And then we hear from them on occasion. Now, the alumni system is not what it should be in terms of communication, so that we aren't able to know exactly what they're doing unless we stumble into it.
I see.
And we're finding a number who have what you call the lower level administrative positions, you know, head nurse, charge mm-hmm. nurses, team leaders, this kind of thing, in public health nursing. We have no, you know, they have no problems getting positions
mm-hmm.
because they are degree graduates. And they're all a little young yet to have any top jobs.
Yeah.
We have, you know, some who go on to graduate school and things of this sort, mm-hmm. but that's about it. They're all
mm-hmm. Well, this, of course, a different perspective than I started with the 1945 date, you
right.
think, in terms of since 66.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
And since 66, you've been taking the secondary school graduate, in effect,
mm-hmm.
who thinks he or she
or people like you who are out for a second career. Our junior class has 40% of those are the so-called non-traditional students. Excuse me, they're seniors this year. That means that they either have degrees in some other area or are older people coming back or older persons who have changed their majors.
Oh, yes.
And so this is what we call like second careers.
Mm-hmm.
There are several who have been in, say, biology. Well, there's not much you can do in terms of a job with a B.S. in biology. You have to get on and go on for your doctorate to get a substantial job and all. But they are interested in science and in people. And so they go into nursing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of teachers who have done that, too.
How, what would the age
Oh, golly.
Range?
Our oldest is in the mid-40s. And so there's a good-sized age range. The other thing we started in the fall of 74 was something similar but not exactly like the 1945 program at BS
mm-hmm.
in nursing education for the RNs. Now we accept RNs into our program. This is hospital graduates and associate degree nursing program graduates to earn their bachelor's degree here. So we now accept them into our program. We have a large number. This semester we have 108 on campus registered.
And how would this be evening study?
Some, their general ed requirements are taken care of in the evening, but most of the nursing has to be in the daytime.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of age ranges, how about
that group?
Sex I was thinking
about that group. They go up into the 50s,
mm-hmm.
mid-50s.
Any large numbers relative to the total enrollment, about what you want to inquire, men students?
Nationally, the percentage is about 3% males in nursing. Here, in our senior class, we have seven out of 56, which is very good. You know, that's a high percentage, very good percentage. It varies with each class. I can't recall the exact number, but something like 4 or 5 in the junior class. And I think our sophomore class has the least number, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Our freshman class, I don't know how many there are in that yet. But we encourage men in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
In many respects, for the same reason they encourage men into teaching. Because it's, with our double standard in this country, the men demand and get higher wages.
Yes.
And the more men you get in nursing now, perhaps the salaries will go up, because they're pretty bad.
Well, they have at least increased substantially from their former pitiful level.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not up to cost of living at the moment, but yes, they have increased.
The field is one in which a job can be anticipated.
For graduates and baccalaureate programs, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In Connecticut, the supply and demand is very low. That is because of the large numbers of associate degree graduates in nursing. They have had only 2 years. And however, the employers don't tend to employ them. Many hospitals are saying, we will employ baccalaureate graduates and hospital diploma graduates. Because of their increased knowledge and skills in nursing.
Oh, I see.
So if they have a preference, they'll take that group. And so the associate degree people don't have that many jobs available.
Mm-hmm. What do they get into, sort of para?
You know, the nursing homes a lot, mm-hmm. and sometimes into doctor's offices.
Mm-hmm. We've found, again in Aruba, not now, but I don't sound too parochial in this, that the male nurse was, well, of course, in the refinery clinics, an absolute necessity.
Mm-hmm.
At least we had the chauvinistic view that you had
certain
male nurses in an all-male refinery. But we also found that in our hospital operation, two or three male nurses were extremely useful, and we tended to pay premiums. Now, whether we paid this because they were men or because they performed special functions, I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare to say, but men can do well in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
It has a great future.
I realize that advertising in yours and related fields is unethical, but do you actively, proselyte, advertise for qualified candidates?
No.
You do not?
We do not. We don't have to.
I see.
Last year we had 425 qualified applicants for our nursing program, which were taken 62.
62?
Yeah, and this is a pattern throughout the country in baccalaureate programs. We just, and it breaks your heart, because so many of those who are qualified have the personality and really be great nurses.
Yeah.
We just can't take them. So we're taking 1 out of 7 qualified applicants.
What kinds of qualities will determine the successful applicant?
Well, unfortunately, right now, except for the interviews, the admissions office does attempt to interview. I should think that'd be a terribly hard job for them to interview all these applicants to the college, but they can pick up things because they are sensitive to those things. But basically, it's on academic qualifications. Their rank in high school, their college boards. Of course, college boards are down nationally now, with their averages. But high school rank and high school grades in their sciences are usually the predicting factors for success, especially the science grades.
Now, does the admissions office at Old Main do your initial screening for you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They do all of it.
Oh, they do all of it.
It would be a full-time job for somebody in this department to do that, so it's all theirs.
Do you visit the schools or anything of this sort, or would this only increase a flood?
A lot of them visit the schools, but the students on campus take them around, this sort of thing. But the admissions office sees these people.
And talks about the nursing program and giving general information right to college.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was one that I wanted to know, and I'm fascinated by that figure. it certainly answers my question, is admission to program competitive? Yes, very highly.
The answer is yes. Yes, Mr. Freer.
This happens to be my first present faculty interview. All of my other meetings have been with administrators, with students. Tomorrow I'll be meeting a lady from the class of 1911.
Met a... this is why I'm glad you're doing this, to get these people on while you can.
And this was Dr. Janik's, so far as I know, it's Dr. Janik's idea. This history.
We're doing a lot of that in nursing, too.
Oh, are you?
Taping the old-time leaders who have all this wealth of knowledge, but never wrote it down. Yeah, restoring all this.
Never wrote it down reminds me of someone Dr. Haas spoke of, a Howard Durge. She talked about the problems of construction and how you never knew where a steam line and other underground utility facilities were. And she said this would go back to Mr. Durge, who began as the janitor in 1904 and stayed here, I guess, till 1958. And he had no use for such things as blueprints, plans, memoranda. If you want to know, ask me. I know. And Mr. Deegan on Friday told me of some of the problems they have. Well, he said, just in this construction that's going on outside of Old Maytown, he said, we live in daily fear that a jackhammer or something will go down right into an electric line.
That's right.
This was the idea that people like Dr. Haas take the history of the college really with them. And of course, she takes a great deal with her. The new campus, had any plans vis-a-vis the nursing program been related to the new campus, which...
Nothing that I have heard. I have heard that nursing and the sciences and music were going to stay on this campus.
See.
Probably in business administration, I thought, maybe not, because of the necessity to be near people. This campus is ideal for the hospital, for the Visiting Nurse Association, for all the community agencies, this kind of thing. It's ideal for that because everything is within walking distance of nursing homes on this campus. If we were to go out to the other campus, then we'd need the shuttle business too.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. This is this one. That would be the first response that I have had that, well, no, it didn't really make
it. It doesn't make that much difference. The thing I don't know. When I was at the University of Maryland, they had split campuses, and until the one in Baltimore had autonomy. And we felt second-rate, second-class citizens. And I fear this. I've mentioned this to Dr. Bursey. I fear the second-rate status for us on this campus when things get up there, because the administration will be up there, all of the arts and sciences would be up there, and we will be missing a great deal of that which I love on this campus right now, which is where you can talk to anybody from any discipline and associate with them, and our students can too, and this is wonderful. I appreciate our students being able to participate in plays and all kinds of things here in the sports. Once it gets up on that campus, I doubt if this will happen. And I think that our students will lose, and I know I, as a faculty member, will lose when that happens. I mean, I'm all for the new campus.
Yes.
I've been fighting for it and all. I'm just not sure what it's going to do for those of us who stay here. There are good points and there are bad points, I fear.
Have you been involved in the fight for the new campus?
Yes, decidedly so.
You have, huh?
Yeah.
But,
I was on a faculty appointed committee with Kathleen Glory and Leslie Fine on the Community Relations Committee, which was to get the word out to the legislators, alumni, business, et cetera, about the new campus.
You were involved in this?
Uh-huh.
Did some of your money go into this?
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, I'm treasurer of the group.
Oh. I noticed that concludes published with private funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of our money, by that I mean this is money from faculty. And we had a little thing going on up at the new campus last year, sort of a squatters' rights party that we had, where all the faculty and John Deegan took us all around and showed us where the buildings would be if. And yes, I've been rather active, also with political candidates for this election. You know, I've been in contact with various ones about their feelings and spreading the word if they endorsed the new campus and all that sort of thing. Uh-huh.
Well, Jimmy Dyer would be one of those.
Jim Dyer is one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a very pleasant session with Jimmy. And as a matter of fact, I'm seeing Kathleen at noon today.
Indeed, yes. There's a substantial group on this campus that have been very active in fighting for the new campus whenever we can in talking about it.
Are there any other public facilities training nurses in the state? You've mentioned Southern Connecticut.
Southern and University of Connecticut.
And the University, so these
yeah,
are the three.
So there are three.
And then I presume, well, Yale would have a...
They have a graduate program.
Oh, a graduate program only. How about statewide? Are there...
There are seven.
Seven...
preparing baccalaureate.
I see.
Nurses, yeah. St. Joseph's College, University of Bridgeport, Fairfield University.
Now, do you think of anything I should have asked?
No, I think what, as you go along, you know what I'd like? I'd like to, as you're getting to the point where you're writing this and you have a certain direction in which you're going, if you could identify that for me, what that is, in case there is something that could be inserted.
Okay.
And I'll rustle up the information. Okay?
Fine. I have no idea at this time. How I'm going to handle this current period of the school's history. And I imagine this is one of the hazards of the historian's profession.
Well, of course, you might want eventually to find out things such as numbers of students and faculty and their growth, the kinds of facilities that are used, the change in direction of the program, from hospital-oriented to community-oriented, this sort of thing you might want.
Now, this is the kind of thing I would never... I wouldn't know enough to
okay,
ask.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, when you get to the various departments in the college and their growth, like the business administration, how they are going off into separate areas of marketing, accounting, and all this sort of thing, if that is going to be in the history, then I would be delighted to jot things down or talk to you again.
Fine.
How would that be? That's
fine.
What I meant by once you know what direction you're going to go, there might be some things that we could contribute specifically.
Do you happen to have any statement of... written statement of the program goals?
We have a philosophy and objectives that we're in the process of revising again.
I see. Well, these are stated briefly, I believe.
Yeah,
in the
they're stated briefly. Yeah, and you know, certainly those are available to you. And if there are these kinds of things, you know, that would be fine. I'll be very happy to talk to you again.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Cole.
It's a pleasure, Mr. Freer.